Today is the 6th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is great to be here. It's a privilege. It is an honor. I am grateful to be here with you today as we gather again around the global campfire to take the next step forward together. And that leads us back out into the book of Ruth. We began that yesterday and got the lay of the land about Naomi and Ruth and Naomi's plight. And they have traveled back from Moab to Israel. And we'll pick up the story and conclude the book of Ruth today. Ruth chapters 2, 3, and 4. Naomi had a relative named Boaz, a rich and influential man who belonged to the family of her husband Elimelech. One day Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields to gather the grain that the harvest workers leave. I am sure to find someone who will let me work with him." Naomi answered, "Go ahead, daughter." So Ruth went out to the fields and walked behind the workers, picking up the heads of grain which they left. It so happened that she was in a field that belonged to Boaz. Sometime later, Boaz himself arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the workers. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the man in charge, "Who is that young woman?" The man answered, "She is the foreigner who came back from Moab with Naomi. She asked me to let her follow the workers and gather grain. She has been working since early morning and has just now stopped to rest for a while under the shelter." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Let me give you some advice. Don't gather grain anywhere except in this field. Work with the women here. Watch them to see where they are reaping and stay with them. I have ordered my men not to molest you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars that they have filled." Ruth bowed down with her face touching the ground and said to Boaz, "Why should you be so concerned about me? Why should you be so kind to a foreigner?" Boaz answered, "I have heard about everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. I know how you left your father and mother and your own country, and how you came to live among a people you had never known before. May the Lord reward you for what you have done. May you have a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, to whom you have come for protection." Ruth answered, "You are very kind to me, sir. You have made me feel better by speaking gently to me, even though I am not the equal of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come and have a piece of bread and dip it in the sauce." So she sat with the workers, and Boaz passed some roasted grain to her. She ate until she was satisfied, and she still had some food left over. After she had left to go and gather grain, Boaz ordered the workers, "Let her gather grain, even where the bundles are lying, and don't say anything to stop her. Besides that, pull out some heads of grain from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up." So Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening, and when she had beaten it out, she found she had nearly 25 pounds. She took the grain back into town and showed her mother-in-law how much she had gathered. She also gave her the food left over from the meal. Naomi asked her, "Where did you gather all this grain today? Whose field have you been working in? May God bless the man who took an interest in you." So Ruth told Naomi that she had been working in a field belonging to a man named Boaz. "May the Lord bless Boaz," Naomi exclaimed. "The Lord always keeps his promises to the living and the dead." And she went on, "That man is a close relative of ours, one of those responsible for taking care of us." Then Ruth said, "Best of all, he told me to keep gathering grain with his workers until they finish the harvest." Naomi said to Ruth, Yes, daughter, it will be better for you to work with the women in Boaz's field. You might be molested if you went to someone else's field. So Ruth worked with them and gathered grain until all the barley and wheat had been harvested, and she continued to live with her mother-in-law. Sometime later, Naomi said to Ruth, "I must find a husband for you so that you will have a home of your own. Remember that this man Boaz, whose women you have been working with, is our relative. Now listen, this evening he will be threshing the barley. So wash yourself, put on some perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go where he is threshing, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down, and after he falls asleep, go and lift the covers and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do." Ruth answered, "I will do everything you say." So Ruth went to the threshing place and did just what her mother-in-law had told her. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in a good mood. He went to the pile of barley and lay down to sleep. Ruth slipped over quietly, lifted the covers, and lay down at his feet. During the night, he woke up suddenly, turned over, and was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked.
"It's Ruth, sir," she answered. "Because you are a close relative, you are responsible for taking care of me. So please, marry me."
"The Lord bless you," he said. "You are showing even greater family loyalty in what you are doing now than in what you did for your mother-in-law. You might have gone looking for a young man, either rich or poor, but you haven't. Now don't worry, Ruth. I will do everything you ask, as everyone in town knows you are a fine woman. It is true that I am a close relative and I am responsible for you, but there is a man who is a closer relative than I am. Stay here the rest of the night, and in the morning we will find out whether or not he will take responsibility for you. If so, well and good. If not, then I swear by the living Lord that I will take the responsibility. Now lie down and stay here till morning." So she lay there at his feet, but she got up before it was light enough for her to be seen, because Boaz did not want anyone to know that she had been there. Boaz said to her, "Take off your cloak and spread it out here." She did, and he poured out almost 50 pounds of barley and helped her lift it to her shoulder. Then she returned to town with it. When she arrived home, her mother-in-law asked her, "How did you get along, daughter?" Ruth told her everything that Boaz had done for her. She added, "He told me I must not come back to you empty-handed, so he gave me all this barley." Naomi said to her, "Now be patient, Ruth, until you see how this all turns out. Boaz will not rest today until he settles the matter." Boaz went to the meeting place at the town gate and sat down there. Then Elimelech's nearest relative, the man whom Boaz had mentioned, came by, and Boaz called to him, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Then Boaz got 10 of the leaders of the town and asked them to sit down there too. When they were seated, he said to his relative, "Now that Naomi has come back from Moab, she wants to sell the field that belonged to our relative Elimelech, and I think you ought to know about it. Now then, if you want it, buy it in the presence of these men sitting here. But if you don't want it, say so, because the right to buy it belongs first to you and then to me." The man said, "I will buy it." Boaz said, "Very well, if you buy the field from Naomi, then you are also buying Ruth, the Moabite widow, so that the field will stay in the dead man's family." The man answered, "In that case, I will give up my right to buy the field, because it would mean that my own children would not inherit it. You buy it. I would rather not."
Now, in those days, to settle a sale or an exchange of property, it was custom for the seller to take off his sandal and give it to the buyer. In this way, the Israelites showed that the matter was settled. So when the man said to Boaz, "You buy it," he took off his sandal and gave it to Boaz. Then Boaz said to the leaders and all the others there, "You are all witnesses today that I have bought from Naomi everything that belonged to Elimelech and to his sons Chilion and Mahlon. In addition, Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, becomes my wife. This will keep the property in the dead man's family, and his family line will continue among his people and in his hometown. You are witnesses to this today." The leaders and the others said, "Yes, we are witnesses. May the Lord make your wife become like Rachel and Leah, who bore many children to Jacob. May you become rich in the clan of Ephrath and famous in Bethlehem. May the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman make your family like the family of Perez, the son of Judah, and Tamar." So Boaz took Ruth home as his wife. The Lord blessed her, and she became pregnant and had a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord. He has given you a grandson today to take care of you. May the boy become famous in Israel. Your daughter-in-law loves you and has done more for you than 7 sons. And now she has given you a grandson who will bring new life to you and give you security in your old age." Naomi took the child, held him close, and took care of him. The women of the neighborhood named the boy Obed. They told everyone, "A son has been born to Naomi." Obed became the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. This is the family line from Perez to David. Perez, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. John 4:43-54. After spending 2 days there, Jesus left and went to Galilee, for he himself had said, "Prophets are not respected in their own country." When he arrived in Galilee, the people there welcomed him, because they had gone to the Passover festival in Jerusalem and had seen everything that he had done during the festival. Then Jesus went back to Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. A government official was there whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to go to Capernaum and heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus said to him, "None of you will ever believe unless you see miracles and wonders." "Sir," replied the official, "come with me before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed Jesus' words and went. On his way home, his servants met him with the news, "Your boy is going to live." He asked them what time it was when his son got better, and they answered, "It was 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon when the fever left him." Then the father remembered that it was at that very hour when Jesus had told him, "Your son will live." So he and all his family believed. This was the second miracle that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Psalm 105:16-36. The Lord sent famine to their country and took away all their food. But he sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who had been sold as a slave. His feet were kept in chains, and an iron collar was around his neck until what he had predicted came true. The word of the Lord proved him right. Then the king of Egypt had him released. The ruler of nations set him free. He put him in charge of his government and made him ruler over all the land, with power over the king's officials and authority to instruct his advisors. Then Jacob went to Egypt and settled in that country. The Lord gave many children to his people and made them stronger than their enemies. He made the Egyptians hate his people and treat his servants with deceit. Then he sent his servant Moses and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They did God's mighty acts and performed miracles in Egypt. God sent darkness on the country, but the Egyptians did not obey his command. He turned their rivers into blood and killed all their fish. Their country was overrun with frogs. Even the palace was filled with them. God commanded, and flies and gnats swarmed throughout the whole country. He sent hail and lightning on their land instead of rain. He destroyed their grapevines and fig trees and broke down all the trees. He commanded, and the locusts came, countless millions of them. They ate all the plants in the land. They ate all the crops. He killed the firstborn sons of all the families of Egypt. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. Reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security to a man and his family. Do you want to avoid death? Reverence for the Lord is a fountain of life. So as we know, Ruth was a Moabite woman. Ironically, Moab is now in the territory of the modern country of Jordan. And so, like, the Moabite capital, its ruins still exist there. And there's brand new archaeology that was pointed out to us when we were there just, I don't know, a couple months ago. That they believe they have found this village that Ruth comes from. They're doing some preliminary there's actually archaeology going on, but that is kind of like the word, is that this is the region specified. This is probably where Naomi would have come, based on whatever, I don't know, but because it's just preliminary. But I thought that was very interesting, to just kind of look down on this little tell, this little hill, by other larger hills surrounding it. This little remnants of a village. It's not really excavated yet. You can just kind of see the way that the ground is shaped and stuff. And so, kind of brings it home to me as I'm reading it right now. Ruth is not an Israelite. She's a Moabite. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, was a Hebrew. Their fates brought them together because tragedy, trauma, loss. Naomi's husband and two sons died in the land of Moab, which left her a widow in a foreign land. All alone. Gosh, the loneliness, the grief, a very bitter pill. One of those sons happened to be the husband of Ruth. And when Naomi decided to take her bitterness and return to her homeland, it was Ruth that wouldn't leave her. It's remarkable allegiance. Ruth was leaving everything behind to devote her life to Naomi. So when they do make the journey and arrive back in Israel, Ruth's story of devotion carries weight among the Hebrew people. But just a good reputation doesn't always put food on the table, and we learn that. And so Ruth begins to work in the fields, gathering what was left over or dropped by the harvesters. This is mandated, allowing widows and orphans to gather what they could in this way is commanded in the Mosaic Law in the book of Leviticus. So Naomi soon discovered that Ruth had been working in the fields belonging to a close relative named Boaz. And again, like, the traditional site of those fields that Boaz had can still be seen near Bethlehem today. In fact, they are thought to be part of the shepherds' fields where the angels descended to the shepherds announcing the birth of Jesus. Boaz was deeply kind to Ruth as she gleaned from the fields, and before long, Naomi took note of his kindness, and she guided Ruth through this process of signifying her availability to Boaz while retaining her dignity. And it worked. Boaz and Ruth were married shortly thereafter, and when Ruth conceived and gave birth to a son named Obed, well, Naomi's grief and bitterness, well, she got to experience joy again. Obed would later become a father. His son's name was Jesse. Jesse would grow up and become a father, and his son would become King David. So it's beautiful how these lives came together. Ruth, Boaz, Naomi. How he turned famine and death and loss into the experience of joy again and redemption. In this story, we see heartbreak, deep pain and bitterness. But we also see how character, how integrity, how loyalty and trust in God lead toward new life rather than further into the darkness. So no matter the bitterness we're facing now, this isn't the end of it all. This story's not complete. If we take the lessons here and choose to be people of integrity and character and faith, we would be following the path of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And as this story depicts, remarkable good can come from unbelievable tragedy. And so, Father, we invite you into that. It's really, really hard to imagine that that could be true in the midst of loss and trauma and pain and suffering. Naomi certainly felt that, renaming herself Mara, bitter. So she is bitter and in grief and in pain and in suffering and in confusion. And her life got really tipped upside down. So for her to make the journey back and imagine that joy, like something like joy, could be experienced in her life again was a little bit too far out of reach to imagine. And yet, from the hardship did come the experience of joy. And maybe we should hold on to that with hope. If we're going through, if we are working our way through some things, Mr. Holy Spirit, we invite you into that, because we're all working through some things. And in one way or another, the lessons apply. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to apply the lessons to the soil of our lives and our hearts. Lead us into all truth. Give us hope where there is no hope. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are all brand new and our home base, indeed, where you find out what's going on, because it's ground zero, it's home base. So be connected if you haven't got the new Daily Audio Bible app yet, or checked out the new website, the new shop, all brand new things in there. Please do move over, and thank you. Like, we're just a tiny bit over a week into this launch. Usually when you're deploying a brand new system, you know, there's things to work out, patches, things to patch up, things to fix up, things to, tweak. And that's all been going on and kind of getting all dialed in now. Thank you for your patience. There's been a couple of moments where we've, where the system's gotten overwhelmed. And so the service, like, doesn't work right. Things work really slow or you can't get in. And that's happened a couple of times. Lasted a couple of hours here and there just to, as we get everything dialed in and get all the settings dialed in to scale with us as the traffic comes through every day around the Global Campfire. So thank you more than anything for your prayers. Like, I know it can be frustrating. And if you've been a frustrated person and you've let everybody know that, thank you. Thank you. That's fine. Would you also pray for us? Because we're rolling out something that is for the long haul. And so the momentary, finally decided, you know, the momentary displeasure of moving, which nobody likes moving, will be worth it, because our new home will be worth it. And so thank you for your prayers. But while you're checking out things, and when you get over to the new app, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop, because there really are pretty much everything is new there, and new things to come. But brand new shirts, brand new Daily Audio Bible apparel. We have the Act Justly, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly premium tee. Love it. Love that fabric. Love it. It's great for summertime. And then the Comfort Colors, which is also my favorite kind of lounge around t-shirt. I'm a little bit of a t-shirt aficionado, and I love those because they get more and more soft and comfy the more and more you wear them. And so we have some Global Campfire logo tees that are there as well as the brand new, like, our slogans. So when Jill signs off of Daily Audio Bible Chronological, she says every day, love one another. And I love that she does that. And so we have a love one another shirt for Chronological. And then for some reason, I'm the one saying, I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow. And I guess I've said that 6,000-7,000 times. So we finally put that on our shirt as well. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow. Great conversation starters for being out there in the world. What does that mean? And introduction to the Daily Audio Bible, or just wear your colors and feel close to the community. And I just feel these t-shirts like a hug from all of us around the Global Campfire. So check those out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Truly, we would not be here, truly, if we were not in this together. And so thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jamie from Kansas City, Missouri, and I just heard Leo from Salem, Oregon, request prayer for his eyes, so I just wanted to pray for him. Dear Jesus, I pray right now that you would just bless Leo, that you would heal his eyes. Whatever procedure he had, God, I pray that you would have the outcome be as it was intended, and that you would heal his vision and make his eyes just complete how you created his eyes to be, Father. We just bless him, and may his healing be complete in you, Father. In your name we pray, amen.
This is Lucy Reed in Huntsville, Alabama. I have called before. I have essential thrombocythemia, and I had called about that, as well as another cancer that I have called chronic lymphocytic leukemia. The medication for the ET is extremely expensive, and I have been very fortunate up to now to be able to get a grant to pay for the medication. And I had to get signed back up in the Penn Foundation, and when I tried to get into it again, I found out that the fund had closed. I think they're trying to build the fund back up again, but I had to pay for around a 50-some-odd day supply of the medication, and it was over $450, I believe. I have a health savings card that thankfully still has a good bit of money on it, but I just am asking prayer that I'll be able to keep paying all the bills, because that, along with my house payment and my car payment and just your standard bills, it adds up. Please also pray for me regarding the CLL, because it looks like it could be becoming active. And please also pray for me regarding this trigeminal neuralgia that I was diagnosed with recently. I got it from the shingles, and it is extremely painful. It is like neuropathy, but it's on your head and your face. And I'm so frustrated. I really need your prayer.
This is Forgiven Child of God, and this message is for our sister Betty. Your prayer request came in on the May 2nd prayer reading. And I want you to know, sister, you are not alone in trying to seek God's will when being discontent. I have felt what you're feeling. I've been where you are. And if everyone is being honest, we've all been there. So don't feel like you're alone. There was a time where I wanted to move to the town 15 miles away just to save on gas and transportation. And we tried to sell our house. We rented in that town, and that was not God's plan. And it took me about four years to recognize my discontent and my ungratefulness. And it was hard, but God worked on my heart through it, and I was still where I didn't want to be, but I am glad this is where we are and where God decided to keep us. So, sister, I pray that you can find a verse to cling to. Mine during that time and since has been Deuteronomy 31:8, which I've shared on here quite a bit, that the Lord has gone before you. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be discouraged. Do not be anxious. And I pray that over you, and I pray that you are able to focus on God and his plan for you, just as you have mentioned, and keep us posted. Forgiven Child of God.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. It is May 2nd. I have listened to DABC as well as DAB today, and I'm listening to the community prayers right now. And I just want everyone to know I'm diligently praying for every single one of the requests, the spoken and unspoken. And just be encouraged that sometimes God has us launch out into the deep through our situation so we can get to know more about him, especially his love that casts out all fear, as well as to establish and settle you in his nature and character. so that when these trials and storms come up, we go back to the default state of understanding who he is, that he will never leave or forsake us in any situation, circumstance. And then for some of us, he wants us to cast the net on the other side, even though, just like the disciples, they were fishing all night and didn't catch anything, and then he tells them to go back and cast the net on the other side, and then they brought in a great haul, so much that they had to call in other boats. And sometimes he does these situations so that we can see him in all of his glory and all that he can do for us if we just trust him just a little bit longer and go out into the deep just a little bit deeper and try one more time to go out and cast the net on the other side, because that is when we truly meet him for who he is and our eyes are open to stay grounded and rooted in him throughout this life. So I'm praying for everybody. Love everybody. Thank you, Jill and Brian and Ezekiel and team, for the new app. I just love it. I'm just so thrilled with it. Bye-bye.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. My name is Megan from Canada, and I'm tuning in because my mom unfortunately got into a fairly bad biking accident on her e-bike and landed on her face and is currently sedated in the hospital, and we don't really know what the outcome will look like. So I just wanted to reach out for prayer. I've been a listener on Daily Audio Bible for, I don't know, 5 years now, and it's always brought me a lot of peace that I can come on here and pray for other people. So today I wanted to come and reach out for my mom, and she always has given me verses and written in books that she gives me, and she gave me a Bible when I got baptized, and I wanted to share the verse that many of you probably already know, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I just need him to be with my mom today. Thank you so much. Love you all.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. Today is May 2nd, Saturday. Anyway, in the prayer and encouragement part of the podcast, a person named Betty, was talking about being in a place where she did not want to be. And I have been there. I know exactly what you're feeling, what you're talking about, being discontented with where you are and wishing to be anywhere else. And I want you to know, keep praying, keep staying strong, keep telling yourself about all the wonderful things that God has given you, even though you're in some place that where you don't want to be. So count your blessings. Truly, count your blessings. Do that every day. Do it 1,000 times a day if you have to. The other thing I tell you is that I got into the Word. I started reading the Bible a lot. I spent hours a day doing that. In fact, I spent every available moment in the Bible. I was reading it, listening to it, coloring it. I really got into journaling and coloring the Bible, writing the Bible out, and all of that. It was an amazing, wonderful thing, because God has used that time in my life to truly teach me about what the Bible actually says, and has now brought about a ministry, a mission, a business for me to do now in this part of my life, now that I am out of that situation and in a different, more wonderful, lovely place. God bless you, and I'm praying for you constantly. You're in my prayers. Love you, family.